Amen. Amen. I'm glad that you're here today. I'm glad I'm here today. Man, I woke up rested this morning. How about you? That extra hour of sleep's just, man, that's amazing, isn't it? I think we ought to just keep falling back. Like every week, we fall back again and again. But hey, as we're kind of moving on that campaign, I don't know if that'll ever get any traction or not. We're here today. Hopefully you're a little bit rested. Would you take your Bible? Would you open it up with me to Acts chapter 10? If you didn't bring a Bible, there should be one right in the row in front of you there. And Acts chapter 10's on page 918. Today we're wrapping up our time in Acts chapter 10. And what we're going to see today is this very important truth, is that the gospel is better than free tacos. Yes, amen. Some of you are going, wow, that's kind of out there. Let me explain what I mean. How many of you have ever been to a Dallas Mavericks basketball game? Anybody had a chance to do that? That's a lot of fun. I've been to a Mavs game before. If you haven't been to a Mavs game, not only is it a great entertaining evening with the basketball on the floor, but whenever they call a timeout or they're kind of between quarters or at halftime or whatever, they do an incredible job making sure that your attention does not wander. And I mean, they're shooting things into the crowd like t-shirts, and they're constantly doing games, interactive games on the video board, or they're bringing people down on the court to do some kind of a race or whatever, and that's all well and good, and we're kind of there, and we're kind of watching, having a good time. But they ran this promotion the night that we were there, and about the fourth quarter comes along. At the start of the fourth quarter, the PA announcer says this: "All right, Mavericks fans, if the Mavs win tonight and score 100 points, everybody at the AAC gets a coupon for free tacos." And I mean, it was like somebody just kind of infused caffeine into everybody's lives. It was like, whoa, free tacos, okay, here we go, man. And so we're kind of rooting the Mavs on. And see, it wasn't just score 100, you had to win and score 100. So we're like really rooting on the Mavs, and it becomes clear throughout the fourth quarter, the Mavs are going to take this. They're going to win this game, but they needed to hit triple digits on the scoreboard. I mean, so we kind of see it happening, and it's in the high 80s, and we're like, come on. And Dirk bangs one in from the three-point line. Yes, we're in the 90s. And I mean, the clock's kind of winding down, and we're kind of in mid-90s there, and it hits into the last minute of the game. And I mean, everybody, it's like, come on. I mean, we're like up by 15. We're like, come on, come on. You know, let's go. And boy, they hit the shot that hit triple digits. We win the game. We go to 100. And I mean, it was like you would have thought they just announced that cancer had been cured, because everybody in the AAC is like, yes, free tacos from Bueno. That's awesome. And then the final horn sounds, and everybody's kind of feeling good, and we're going out, and all of the AAC staff are there, and they're handing out free Taco Bueno coupons. I preached a sermon in the first service, because somewhere along the way, my Taco Bueno coupon for free taco is long gone, and somebody said, I got mine right here. And I was like, wow, check that out. Mavs win. You deserve Bueno, free crispy beef taco. That's awesome, isn't it? I mean, yes, that is just good news. And I was thinking back, I don't think I ever redeemed my free taco. But boy, it was good news at the time. Man, it fired me up. We were so proud. And as good a news as it was, that we got free tacos that night, I don't think it possibly compared to the good news that the Apostle Peter shared with a man named Cornelius inside of Cornelius's home with his whole family there, and his, it says, his whole household. So those who served under Cornelius's leadership, he was a centurion in the Roman army, so there were several men and several women who all lived under the protection and under the leadership of Cornelius. And the Apostle Peter shared the gospel with a man named Cornelius in his home, and that's what we see in Acts chapter 10. We started Acts 10 last week. If you weren't here, I'll just do a quick refresher course, but we talked about how Peter, who was a Jewish man, had this vision from God. In this vision, God tells Peter, do not call anything or anybody unclean that I have made clean. And God's sharing this news with Peter. And at the same time that he'd been sharing this news with Peter about don't call anybody or anything unclean that I've made clean, God's been also at work in a man named Cornelius's life. Now, Cornelius didn't yet know the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose name was Jesus, but he was still talking to this man. God was still at work in Cornelius's life. Cornelius was not yet a follower of Jesus, probably because nobody had ever invited him to become one. My guess is, for those of you who put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus at some point in your life, it's probably because somebody invited you to do so. But at this point in the story, nobody had ever done that for Cornelius. He didn't know you could do that. You could take that. Now, Cornelius was open to following God. I mean, we see that at the first part of Acts chapter 10. He's a sincerely spiritual man that says he feared God, although he didn't know the name of the God that he was trying to fear. He even says he prayed sincerely to God. He gave money. He gave to help those in need in his community. Cornelius was a moral man, an upright man, a man of integrity. But Cornelius had just been going through the religious motions, not really knowing who he was praying to. He just wasn't yet a follower of Jesus. And yet at the same time, God was at work in his life. God is always at work. Even before we call on his name, God always makes the first move. He made the first move in your life. He made the first move in Cornelius's life. So God is at work in Cornelius's life. And he, in a vision, says, I want you, Cornelius, to send some of your men down the road to Joppa. And there's going to be a man there named Simon Peter. And I want you to invite through your men to come back with them to your house, because this man, Simon Peter, has got something to say that you and your household need to hear. See, God's also been at work in Peter's life. When God's at work in your life, that's called sanctification. Would you say that word with me? Sanctification. We talked about that word a little bit last week. Sanctification, that's a big, big word that just means God is at work in your life, working on you to become who he's always longed for you to be. And as long as you have breath in your lungs, the sanctification process continues in your life and in my life. And God's at work in us. He's stretching us. He's growing us. He's causing us to think differently about some things that maybe we've always kind of thought about. And so God is in the sanctification process in Peter's life. He's working in Peter's life. And he's letting Peter know that even though he'd grown up in this good Jewish home, there were some things in him that still needed to grow, still needed to change. He needed to be stretched. See, he'd always been taught Jewish people don't associate with Gentiles. Gentiles were viewed by Jewish people as unclean. And God was changing Peter's mind, changing Peter's heart, saying, don't call anything or anybody unclean that I've made clean. You need to leave that home of Jewish prejudice and follow me, walk with me, begin to think differently about people. You need to step into the kingdom and begin to live a kingdom life and think kingdom thoughts. And so the vision ends, and Peter then hears Cornelius's men saying, come with us to Cornelius' home. And Peter goes with them, and Peter leaves home from what he's always believed, and he walks into a new place that God's been preparing, God's been unfolding before him. And they get to Cornelius' house, and they make their introductions, and Cornelius says these words to Peter in verse 33, Acts 10, 33. Look what Cornelius says to Peter. He says these words, so I sent for you, Peter, at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. And just put yourself in Peter's shoes. Can't you just see him going, wow, this is crazy. I'm standing in a Gentile's home. They think differently. They do life differently. They vote differently than me. They don't say Jesus is Lord. They say Caesar is Lord. I'm standing in his home. And this is not really weird because God's been at work in my life and he's been at work in Cornelius's life and they're all waiting to hear what I have to say about you, Lord. And for the first time in Peter's life, Peter is about to share the good news of the gospel to Gentiles. And what we'll see is that the gospel is way better than free tacos. At least for Cornelius and his family. Kids, would you draw me a picture of what you think it looked like when Peter was standing in the home of Cornelius, this Roman soldier? Would you draw a picture of Cornelius and all of his family and friends and Peter and his six friends standing there and Peter getting ready to share about Jesus to these people who had not known that they could become a follower of his? Draw me a picture of what you think it looks like and go put it on my picture board when we're done. I want to see what you think this scene looks like. And I'll read this scene to you. Let's follow along in Acts chapter 10. We'll pick it back up in verse 34. Acts 10, 34, Peter's standing in the house of Cornelius. And it says this, so Peter did what? He opened his mouth. Before we go forward, let me just give you a little hint. Anytime you're reading scripture and you see that phrase that somebody opened their mouth, the writer who's been inspired by God to write these words, that is a trigger point for you. That is a Blue's Clues for you that something is about to happen, something's about to be said that's incredibly important. And Luke is actually writing Acts. He's writing this letter to his friend Theophilus so that Theophilus can know who it is that Jesus is and what the gospel is all about. And so Theophilus, when he gets to this point in the letter, when he sees that phrase, so Peter opened his mouth, man, all of a sudden Theophilus would have been going, what was he about to say? And what Peter's about to say is about to just shatter centuries of Jewish prejudice. So with that back frame, backstory in mind, let's read that again. So Peter opened his mouth, and here's the message. Here's the sermon that he preached to Cornelius in his house that day. Truly, I understand that God shows how much partiality? No partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to who? To Israel, preaching good news of peace through whom? Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. You might want to underline that. He is Lord of all. Verse 37, you yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by whom? Oppressed by the devil. Not just a Halloween thing, that's a real presence. The devil, the one who seeks to steal, kill, and destroy from you. Good news is Jesus came to give us life, to give it abundantly. And it says Jesus in verse 38 went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him, and we are witnesses of all that he did both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. And here's what they did to Jesus. Here's the gospel. They put Jesus to death by hanging him on a tree, on the cross. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with Jesus after he rose from the dead. And Jesus commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. Verse 43, to him all the prophets bear witness, and here's what they bear witness of. I want to underline this next phrase. That everyone who believes in him receives what? Forgiveness of sins. How? Through his name. And while Peter was still saying these things, watch how God just interrupts Peter's sermon. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. And then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of who? Of Jesus Christ. And then they asked him to remain with him some days. Wow. Cornelius and his family didn't get a free taco coupon that day, but they did get the gospel. And it was a powerful day. They received not a free taco coupon. They received forgiveness of their sins. And they received the Holy Spirit that was poured into and over their lives. They were baptized into the family of God, all in the name of Jesus Christ. Man, I'm telling you what, that was a powerful and a clear message that a Jewish man named Peter shared with a non-Jewish household. Under Cornelius's leadership. What an incredible day. And the scripture says that Cornelius and his whole household responded. You know why they responded? Because God had been at work in Cornelius's heart and in the lives of his family to receive the gospel at just the right time. See, men and women, God's always at work, even when we may not be aware of how he's at work. If we'll be faithful to walk into the places that he's leading us and be a witness for Christ, there's no telling what might happen because of your faithfulness and his work already taking place. How those two come together, man, it's like a thunderbolt. And it can just totally change people's lives. Isn't it interesting that Peter, it says he just preached the word there. He didn't have a cool video clip in the middle of his sermon. He didn't have a neat object lesson. He didn't even give away free coupons for unleavened bread to anybody that responds. It just says, man, that he shared the good news of the gospel in a clear and compelling manner. And his audience was just gripped in their hearts that had been prepared by God. And the power of God changed their whole lives. It just blows me away. And what I really believe just totally connected with them was in verse 36 when Peter says, he is Lord of who? All. That just would make a Gentile who's been pushed to the side, not included their whole life, kind of stand up and go, all? Like all includes me. You're saying he's Lord of all? I've been saying my whole life, Caesar is Lord. And you're saying Jesus is Lord? Yeah, of all. Even Roman soldiers and their family and the people who serve all of us. And so you got my attention. But in verse 43, this just puts him over the edge. Look what he says in verse 43. And everyone who believes in him, in Jesus, receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Man, that word right there just reached into Cornelius' heart and gripped it and wouldn't let go. Why? Why did this message about the mission of Jesus to Israel, as we mentioned a minute ago, why did it have such an effect on Cornelius, a Gentile? and his family, Gentiles, and their friends, Gentiles. Well, at one level, because the gospel is just powerful in and of itself. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a powerful, powerful message. And when Paul talks in his gospel, in his letters about the gospel, Paul doesn't primarily mean, here's how you can get saved too. That's why you don't see Paul writing saying, if you'll just say the ABCs, this is how you'll get saved. Accept, believe, confess. You don't see him just outline that. See, when Paul is talking about the gospel, what he primarily means is the message which says that Jesus, the crucified one, the risen one, is the Lord of the whole earth. That's what Paul means. And to say that Jesus is Lord is to say Caesar is not. And Paul just says that message carries its own power. And it just acts like a tractor beam. Anybody ever watch Star Wars? And the Millennium Falcon is kind of going toward the Death Star. And then all of a sudden, why are we still moving forward? What kind of tractor beam is pulling us in? That's the gospel to those whose hearts have been prepared by God. It's a tractor beam that pulls us in to the love and salvation and forgiveness of God. And no Ben Kenobi is going to sit there and disarm it. Woo! You can't disarm the power of God. You just can't do it. It's a tractor beam that pulls us in. In other words, you can't preach the message of the cross and sit there and yawn after you've just sung Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That's why we don't sing of mediocre grace, how bland the sound that's not even as good as free tacos. Nobody ever wrote that song. No, it's a powerful message that powerfully impacts people, all people, even Roman soldiers, even you and me. Now, there will be some that will mock the message of the cross, but others just find themselves gripped by the message like a tractor beam that's pulling them in to the grace of God. And it changes them from the inside out as they become aware of this new presence of the Lord Jesus who's alive and the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in them when they put their faith, hope, and trust in Him. That's how it was in Cornelius' home. And when Peter starts off his message in verse 35 by saying, God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears Him and does what is right is what? Acceptable to Him. This verse does not mean that God runs the world as a democracy. Or that God simply validates and accepts everyone's opinion about everything or everyone's chosen lifestyle. What this means is that there are no ethnic, geographical, cultural, or moral barriers that are in the way to God. God's just moved them out of the way and said, y'all come. It's for all. It's for everyone. New life, forgiveness of sin is offered to all through the name of Jesus Christ. And men and women, that message is way better than free tacos. It's way better than free tacos. And for all people, it's way better. And it's far more powerful than what many Christians in Western society have gravitated toward and have kind of wrapped their arms around this all-loving God who's really kind of laissez-faire, kind of a hands-off God. See, so many in Western society just kind of embrace that for whatever reason. The tolerating God. And can I just tell you, Cornelius didn't want to be tolerated by Peter. And he darn sure didn't want to be tolerated by God, whatever his name was. Oh, his name's Jesus. I don't want Jesus to tolerate me. I want Jesus to forgive me. I want Jesus to heal me. I'm tired of doing the religious dance, trying to get the hug of a God that I don't know what his name is. His name is Jesus. I want to be embraced by that kind of God who would give his life for a wretch like me. That grace is amazing. Forget the tacos. Where's the cross? And that amazing grace saved a wretch like Cornelius on that day and his whole family, and it saved wretches like you and like me. On that day, Cornelius and his family, they heard the gospel and they received it and they were forgiven of their sin and the Holy Spirit entered their lives. And on that day, Cornelius got a whole new lease on life. He got to throw off the straitjacket of religious ritual and trying harder to do better, to give more, to pray more, and go to church more, and be more religious. All that got thrown away. And the cross got embraced, and the name of Jesus got called upon, and his sin got forgiven. And the walls that separated him and his family came crashing down. That's good news. New Testament theologian Richard Longenecker says this about that crucial moment. It's on the screen. Look what Longenecker says about this moment. He says, when Peter told Cornelius and his family that everyone who believes in Jesus receives forgiveness of sin through his name, these words struck like a thunderbolt into the consciousness of the assembled Gentiles, releasing their pent-up emotions and emboldening them to respond in faith. In other words, everyone, all, you included, all who put their faith, hope, and trust in Jesus get forgiven. All who put their faith, hope, and trust in Jesus get a clean slate. All who put their faith, hope, and trust in Jesus get a new lease on life. It's the Etch-a-Sketch that just gets clean. You get to start over again. Oh, the kids would play with Etch-a-Sketches again. What a great picture of the grace of God covering, shaking away, and giving you a fresh start to draw a whole new picture of life as you follow God's lead. That's worth celebrating with free tacos. Let me just be perfectly clear about something. I want to go back to verse 35 again. When Peter says, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. Do not miss this. Scholar John MacArthur, so right on right here. So many people take this verse as a proof text and just go off on a tangent that is not consistent with the rest of God's word. You're going, what's that tangent? It's another big religious SAT word. It's called universalism. Would you say that word with me? Universalism. What in the world is universalism? Universalism is a false teaching. Universalism is a belief that God simply accepts all people who are sincere, who've sincerely done good works, then they're saved. That is not what the whole teaching of God's word teaches. Sincerity does not always equal salvation. In other words, every sincere person is not necessarily forgiven and saved just because of their sincerity or their good works. Listen, if sincerity was the key that unlocked the door to our salvation, why in the world did God instruct Peter to go share the gospel with Cornelius? Think about that. There would have been no need for Peter to go to Cornelius' house. Folks, Cornelius wasn't saved. His sins had not been forgiven before Peter got there and shared the gospel with him. It says that Cornelius was a sincere God-fearer, that he was sincere in the way that he prayed. He was sincere in the way that he gave. He was sincere and morally upright in his life. But if he was already saved, there would have been no need for Peter to go and share the gospel with him. But Peter says, only through the name of Jesus can your sins be forgiven. That's why in verse 43, he says, everyone who believes in him, in Jesus Christ, receives forgiveness of sin through his name. Doesn't say anything about sincerity. It's not through the sincerity of your good works or how many times you come to church. It's not that you can make a 100 on a Jesus pop quiz or that your religious report card gets all A's because you pray a lot, give a lot, and show up a lot. I'm glad you come. But unless your sin has been forgiven by the one true God whose name is Jesus Christ, fail, still locked up, straitjacket still on you. And Peter came to say, I got something better than free tacos. And Cornelius wasn't saved. It says that in chapter 11, because see, in chapter 11, we'll get there next week, but Peter and his six friends who went with him go back to the church and share what took place in this Gentile's home. And in verse 13 and 14, Peter is given the recount, and he says, and he, Cornelius, told us how he had seen the angel stand in his house. Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare, future tense, he will declare to you a message by which you will be what? You will be saved. You will be saved when you hear the gospel, you and all your household. Men and women, Cornelius and his family did not have salvation before the gospel was preached and their sins were forgiven and they put their faith, hope, and trust in Jesus. Nor are yours. And it says after that happened, then he baptized them. Baptism doesn't save you. Jesus saves you. Baptism is an expression of what Jesus has done in your life that you've wrapped your arms and life around and said, I got something better than free tacos. It's called forgiveness. And that's the good news of the gospel. And it's way better than free tacos. I know where you're going for lunch today, aren't you? You're going to Bueno, aren't you? Before you go to Bueno and get your free tacos, Jane, you can't come get these. Where'd they go? Oh, they're in here. I'll give them in a second. I got two free tacos. I may use them. Let me just ask you, where are you? Where are you when it comes to your relationship with Jesus? Are you morally good and upright, but your sin's still straitjacketing you? Do you realize that Jesus will be for every one of the 7 billion plus people on this earth that he's created, either their judge of their sin or their deliverer from their sin? For every person, even a Gentile like Cornelius, that was incredibly good news. That the cross was for him. The cross was for me. The cross was for you. No matter what your race is, Jesus is for you. No matter what your culture is, Jesus is for you. No matter what your past looks like, Jesus is for you. No matter what your home life looks like right now, Jesus is for you. No matter what you've done, who you've slept with, who you've let down, how you've cheated, or how many times you've fallen off the sin wagon, Jesus is for, take a guess, you. And today, forgiveness can be found in his name. Especially if you think you're pretty good. Because it doesn't matter how much you go to church, or how much you sincerely give, or how morally upright you think you are, or how great your marriage really is, or what a stellar parent you are. If your sin has not been absorbed at Calvary, you're drowning. And there's not enough coupons in the world to get you out of that kind of a mess. But forgiveness and a fresh start and a new life in Christ can start today. And that's way better than free tacos. So what are you supposed to do with this message? Everyone who calls on his name gets forgiven. Some of you may want to have a conversation about that. May want to talk more about that. On that little connect card that's in front of you, would you take it? Would you fill that out? And on this side it says, I'd like more information on what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Fill that out. Leave it in your seat or come give it to me in just a moment. I'll give you a call this week. Others of you are going, wow, I've done that, but I've never followed Christ in baptism. Well, mark that second box about, I'd like more information about baptism. Maybe some of you are going, I've done those. I want this to be the church that I call home. Mark that right there. Maybe you've got a prayer request. Whatever it is, how can I help? And some of you are sitting there going, I don't want to wait for you to call me. I want forgiveness right now. Awesome. Would you just stand with me right where you're at? If you've already put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, would you pray for those who are about to do so? Just invite you to close your eyes, bow your head, and if you've never put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus and called on his name and asked him to forgive you of your sin, I'd invite you to pray a very simple prayer just like this. You can pray it silently to the Lord. You can whisper it. You can scream it out loud, whatever you want to do. But maybe you could just pray something like this. Dear Jesus, I know that you're God, and I know that I'm not. I call on your name to forgive me of my sin, to live in me by your Holy Spirit, and to give me a fresh start. Would you accept me to be one of your followers? In Jesus' name, amen. You know what the Bible says? That if you've called on his name to forgive you of your sin, you know what's happening in heaven? Party. You know what they're serving? Free tacos. Free tacos. Hey, I want to give you a blessing. I'm so glad that you're here today. And then Carolyn Baker. Is Carolyn in here? Yeah, Carolyn's one of our ministry residents. Carolyn's going to lead us in the 67th Psalm as we leave. But would you hold your hands out? I want to give you a blessing like this, like you're receiving something. And may you know that your Father in heaven's crazy about you. The one who lived, died, was buried, and resurrected, and defeated sin, death, Satan, and hell. It was for you. And he says, receive. And all who receive get forgiven. And that's better than free tacos. Share that with somebody else this week. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the people of God said, amen. Would you?